Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We are off and running here tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Boy, the world of soccer, it just keeps on giving. Big thanks to the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713, call now, DaspitLaw.com. They'll work 24/7, nights and weekends for you. And John and his firm have been helping to get soccer on the airwaves for many, many years. So if you are a big fan of the show and, more importantly, soccer talk, well, this is where you are. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass today. It's nice to see him in person. I'm used to talking to him when we're out at Senate Avenue Brewing. So, Sean, pleasure to see you, and I know I'm in good hands tonight.
Yes, nice to get to work with you while being able to see you the first time, because I would board up games that you would call the Dynamo games that you would call.
Okay.
So, again, we've worked with each other for hours and hours upon end. It's now crazy. We actually get to see each other's faces.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. You know, it reminds me of when I was doing the shows out of my house during COVID. I was fortunate I had a Comrex, you know, and I was just like, thank God I had something to do and to keep me occupied. And but, boy, I'll tell you what, when I was able to get back to the station and get out of just the comfort of being at home by myself, it was just so refreshing, because it is important to look at somebody.
Yeah, it's a different energy.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you know what? I thought there were better shows once I started coming back in. So anyway. All right. So we got a lot to talk about here tonight. I got the Premier League. Sean's going to get me tapped up here because we're going to hear a few goal calls here. By the way, Christian Pulisic has scored again today. He's absolutely on fire. So maybe that was a good idea to take that Gold Cup break. If you want to call the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN is the number to call tonight. And I would like to hear from you on everything, whether it's Houston Dynamo, whether it's Premier League, whether it's U.S. players really turning it on. Maybe it's the Ballon d'Or winner. Did that mean a lot to you? Ousmane Dembele won the 2025 Ballon d'Or, beat out Lamine Yamal, whose father's a bit of a nutcase, if we're going to be really honest here. His father said, quote, "We have to say that something strange has happened here." Munir Nasraoui, that's his name. He also said something, I'll have to get the quote later, but it was something else about the moral. It's so off the chain, stupid, but that's why people in Barcelona are worried about Yamal, because he's got a bit of a crazy father, and it depends on the amount of influence he has on him. But, I mean, he's obviously an unbelievable talent. So that's Ousmane Dembele wins it. By the way, a lot of times if you are on the team that wins the Champions League or wins a lot of titles, that might be the thing that puts somebody over the top. I loved when Rodri won it for Man City the year before, and that one proved all the journalists correct, because Man City struggled without him as a controller and as a balancer and as the brains of the operation. Okay, so there you go. Ayetana Bonmati, who's an exceptional player for Barcelona. She won the women's Ballon d'Or, so good for her. She's a very fun player to watch. Luis Enrique was a men's coach of the year, England manager. Serena Wiegman, coach of the year. So great stuff there from the Ballon d'Or. Okay, it's just an award. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like Memo Ochoa. He's trying to go to a sixth World Cup. Does he really deserve to go? I don't think so. I mean, I see him flying through the screen on the tequila commercials. I mean, if he can still leap like that, I got to think he's a good goalkeeper at 40, and he has been a great goalkeeper in his career. He's going to tie the record of Antonio Carvajal of Mexico. But should you give somebody a pass just to go to the World Cup to get a sixth? I don't know. Isn't that kind of like the guys in the NBA who just try to get to the teams where, you know, they can finally win a title? Like, you haven't been trying to win a title before? He was on teams that were relegated. Salernitana, AVS in Portugal, Ajaccio in France. These are some of the teams he was on. Granada. I think they were all relegated. At Granada, he conceded a record 80 goals in a season. But look, that's not fair either, because he was also voted the player of the year at some of those places, so you don't know what was in front of him. It wasn't on great teams. But I do think it's kind of like handing somebody something that's not through merit. Just because he played great in the World Cup and saved the penalty from Neymar doesn't mean currently he deserves to go to a World Cup. And who's he taking the space from? He does share the same agent, though, with Bosco Aguirre. 713-780-3776. All right, let's get you some results from the weekend and goals. So, Sean, you ready to go here? Let's do it. These are U.S. Some of them are U.S. players who had great weekends. So, 1-1 draw between Bayer Leverkusen and Mönchengladbach. This is Malik Tillman, the U.S. international, who scores for Bayer Leverkusen.
The ball eventually working its way through to Poku. Poku pulls it back to Schick. It comes through to Malik Tillman. And Malik Tillman makes it 1-0. He has the presence of mind and the patience to let it drop. And then he catches it sweetly on the half volley. Too much quality on it in the end for the goalkeeper.
So, by the way, back to the Gold Cup thing with Christian Pulisic. By Pulisic not being there, it allowed players like Malik Tillman, it allowed others to take roles of leadership and responsibility that they may never have gotten. That Gold Cup was great for Malik Tillman. And by the way, you might be considering him to be a part of a starting midfield for the U.S. in the World Cup. He's definitely in consideration after that Gold Cup. And if he keeps scoring goals for Leverkusen, who knows what happens, right? Does McKinney get into midfield? Is Gio Reyna going to produce something? By the way, Reyna was on Mönchengladbach and came off the bench. All right, so let's go to the Milan game. This was a big day against Udinese. Christian Pulisic, here's his first goal.
Pulisic, Estupiñan, Christensen, and Pulisic on the rebound. Milan break the deadlock on the 40th minute, and it's Christian Pulisic.
Plays a part in the second one. He puts the pressure on an Udinese player. Gets between that player and the ball, gets kicked, but somehow gets the ball to Fofana. He makes it 2-0.
Pulisic puts the pressure on Karlstrom, and he's won it back. Now Fofana makes it 2! Brilliant start to the second period. Not even a minute after the restart, and the Rossoneri double their advantage.
Yeah, that goal was created by Pulisic's pressing play. And then he gets the third goal of the game for Milan against Udinese.
Rabiot, one-on-one with Christensen. Pulisic! Stuns Sabat! And gets his second! And surely seals it for Milan. He's having a blinder tonight, Christian Pulisic.
And Milan gets him off. So all that work by Pulisic is done in 62 minutes. 3-0 victory over Milan. Let's go to Arsenal. They're down 1-0 against Man City. It's the master, Pep Guardiola, against the pupil, Mikel Arteta. And here's the Arsenal equalizer off the bench, Gabriel Martinelli.
Eze. Martinelli making a break for it. Donnarumma scanned it. Arsenal have their salvation with a beautifully taken goal by Gabriel Martinelli.
Oh, it was. It was. It was a beautiful lob over Donnarumma. Okay, how about Liverpool? Gravenberch would get the opener for Liverpool in their victory.
Salah's ball, Gravenberch's run and scheme! Ball! That's dynamite from Ryan Gravenberch! What a ball by Salah! What a finish!
Yeah, that was a great goal all around. That was a Merseyside derby, Liverpool winning that. So after losing the Community Shield, Liverpool is 5-0. They're not even hitting all cylinders, which is a bit of a scare. Let's go to Pumas and Tigres, 1-1. And let's see, we start with Macias for Pumas.
Acá viene Coco. El panameño mete servicio, ahí está. El remate, gol de Pumas.
So there was a Nico Orbañez penalty kick saved by Keylor Navas, but then you get the goal from Correa from Tigres.
Pero tiene enfrente a Keylor Navas. Vamos a ver. Oscar Mejía que se coloca. Silva el árbitro. Nico espera, mete tiro. Se lo detuvo. Angelito Correa está atento y empata el partido de manera dramática.
Remember Correa when he was in Houston, when Tigres beat the Dynamo 4-1? He's the one who brought that long ball down at the top of the box and made space for himself. Exceptional player. And apparently Tigres got him for around $6 million. So pretty fantastic. So good to see U.S. players turning it on. And, of course, again, Pulisic scored again today. So he's got three goals in a short amount of time. Back to Malik Tillman of Bayer Leverkusen. He was a threat throughout that game. By the way, Joe Scally also played on Mönchengladbach. And I mentioned Gio Reyna came in the 80th birthday. And yesterday, 80th minute. Yesterday, it was the birthday of the real Ronaldo. Phenomenon. You know the real Ronaldo. I mean, nothing against Cristiano Ronaldo, but the real Ronaldo was his birthday. Brazil, Inter Milan, PSV. He was, I think, 17 or 18 at PSV, banging in goals like crazy. Just think an NFL running back merged and morphed with the skills of an amazing soccer player. Back in his day in Italy, he could pick a ball up in his own half of the field and run through an entire team, and guys would bounce off him. He'd be like a slalom skier with the ball at his feet. Pretty incredible. And back to my comments on Memo Ochoa. What is Mexico doing? I mean, all we ever hear about is Memo Ochoa, Chicharito. I mean, we're more concerned about two players in Mexico that aren't going to play in the World Cup. Do we get enough criticism of Bosco Aguirre? What is he doing with the team? I know they won the Gold Cup. That calmed everybody's nerves for a bit. Anything anybody want to say on Mexico? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Harry Kane, ninth hat trick in 67 games for Bayern. 4-1 win at Hoffenheim. New Bundesliga record set by a goalkeeper. Noah Tubalu has saved five consecutive penalties. He set a new record, Freiburg. Barcelona. Marcus Rashford. Just when we were getting happy with Marcus Rashford and saying, okay, has he grown up? Is he matured? Is he going to take this opportunity at Barcelona? Well, he got dropped by the manager, Hansi Flick, after arriving late for a team meeting at Barcelona. And I know what you're saying out there. Oh, he was only 2 minutes late. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was 2 seconds late. When your manager's a German, Hansi Flick, and you're playing at Barcelona, you got to be able to read the room and understand you can't make these mistakes, especially as a new player. You don't get any leeway because you finally scored 2 goals. So, a lot of things came too quick, too fast for Marcus Rashford, I think. So we'll see if the Manchester United loanee, who scored the 2 Champions League goals, we'll see if it's going to work, because it's not a definitive it'll work. He was dropped to the bench. And then you get Paul Scholes and former United guys out there. Paul Scholes was very, very adamant in an interview that he did that said Marcus Rashford quit on Manchester United. Quit on him. Says his problem is mentality, attitude. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that's fair criticism. Didn't look like he wanted to be there. Okay, this is LCD Sound System. Someone great. Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about one of our newest sponsors, Slip Sliders. Now, they're down on bins in the museum area. So if you're going to the museums and you want a break, you got so many choices down there. You got Herman Park. You got all the great things that our city gives us down there, which, by the way, the rest of the world's going to start learning about during the World Cup. Great restaurants called Slip Sliders. New sponsor of the show. So these are sliders, but the variety and the amount of different sliders they have, whether chicken, beef, they got 4 beef offerings, they got 4 chicken offerings. The Caribbean chick is my favorite. They've got seafood, they've got salmon, they've got a shrimp patty. It's Slip Sliders down on bins. And I can assure you, you're going to like this. There's a lot of culture, there's a lot of ingredients in Slip Sliders. Let's see, the backyard burger is one I like a lot. There's a Swiss burger, and they're bigger. The bun is excellent. Brioche buns. Slip Sliders down on bins. Get over there because you're going to love these. I think 3 of them are good because they're bigger size. And who doesn't like Slip Sliders? Who doesn't like sliders? So at Slip Sliders, we had the owner, Rashidon, last week. Had him in studio. It was great stuff with him. We really appreciate their sponsorship. But if you're in the area, I really suggest you get over there. And I've sampled a number of them. I really like the shrimp patty. I don't know. There's something unique about that. Slip Sliders, bins, down in the museum area. Get there. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more LCD Sound System. Someone great.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's Asia. Super group called Heat of the Moment. I'm just going to let this go here, Sean. Great song. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Markey Entertainment Center. It's a great spot. I sent my buddy who was up here and actually went to the Dynamo game with me, Jim McGregor. We played youth and high school soccer together. He was in town. He's got equipment that they use for athletes, but he was down at NASA installing some of this equipment, which was pretty cool based on what he told me. But I sent him over to Hugh O'Connor's pub. He missed the Liverpool group, so it was a little quieter when he got there. But Hugh O'Connor's pub, great place to watch a game. You got all the dark woods in there, super clean, great British pub food. It is Hugh O'Connor's pub, and I was over there for the Liverpool game for a bit and had a great shepherd's pie, by the way, and a nice draft beer. So great spot, Hugh O'Connor's pub, longtime sponsors. We thank them for everything they do. Santi Jimenez scored today, which for Mexico fans, that's one you're going to be very, very happy about because he had a real clear chance on the weekend against Udinese. So good for him. All right. I'm going to go back to Americans over seas in Europe playing and get you caught up. So Pulisic on the weekend had two goals and assists. He had one today. We told you about that. Tanner Tessman started with FC Dallas. He plays for Lyon in League One, or if I wanted to be really cool, Ligue 1 in France. He scored a game winner against Angers, 65th minute, and Lyon was briefly at the time at the top of League One. So that's Tanner Tessman. Another one who could be in consideration as a holding midfielder. Malik Tillman, we mentioned, opened the scoring. Leverkusen was up 1-0 until Tabakovic equalized in stoppage time, or that would have been a game winner for Tillman. Joe Scally was in the game against Tillman for Borussia Mönchengladbach. He had a good game, apparently, from everything I read. I didn't see the whole game. Created some chances, had a chance or two on goal. So Joe Scally, who did not go into those last U.S. games. Ricardo Pepe and Sergiño Dest for PSV. 2-2 with Ajax. Ricardo Pepe had some opportunities, a lot in the air. He was in and around the box. Sergiño Dest started, played his normal, consistent game on the right side, ended 2-2. Ajax had a lead equalizer in that. So Sergiño Dest and Anthony Robinson are such key figures for the United States, and they haven't both been on the field together for quite some time. When they come back, the U.S. becomes a more solid and more comfortable team. Brendan Aaronson at Leeds in the Premier League. He had a couple chances. Of course, I don't think you're ever going to worry about his energy level. No goals, no assists. But Leeds did win 3-1 at Wolves. Tyler Adams with Bournemouth, if you were up early. 0-0 with Newcastle. Active in midfield. He's a solid starter for the U.S. Now, the one we're kind of concerned about, I think, is Weston McKennie. I saw him playing right back, I think, during the Champions League. He was on the bench for a draw at Verona. But he's been playing right back, so it's going to be interesting. Does he get considered to play in that midfield role that he did in the last World Cup? I think we need his energy. He's had some, real up and down at Juventus based on coaches coming in and out and a lot of differing challenges for him, but a lot of eyes are on him now. Tim Weah. Tim Weah scored against Real Madrid in the Champions League. And then I think Marseille beat, if I'm not wrong, I think they beat Paris Saint-Germain this weekend. I think the game was originally postponed and it was replayed. Or if I'm on target here and somebody might help me, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. How do you feel about the U.S. players? How do you feel about the U.S. result against Japan? Do you have a different feeling about the U.S. now? It looks like U.S. players are performing well overseas. So maybe our concerns around Mauricio Pochettino's squad are maybe changing a little bit. So we'll see. A group of Schalke fans reportedly pulled the emergency brakes on a train. Great job. They did it because they wanted to start a brawl with Borussia Dortmund fans. So you got 300 to 400 supporters from both clubs, and then they clash in a wooded area. This occurred on the train ride after Schalke's away game I mean, somebody's going to jail for that. Pulling an emergency brake on a train? Yeah. So then Schalke supporters got off the train on an open stretch of the track, ran into a forest. Police officers encountered around 300 people in the forest. Police have attempted to crack down on premeditated brawls in German football. So this thing was set up. In October last year, you had Hansa Rostock and Rot-Weiss Essen fighting on a train, causing 118,000 pounds worth of damage. The Essen supporters were ambushed. That's what they say. And the attacks are organized, and we see a lot of that in the world today. Frankly, I'm tired of it. Yeah, I'm done with the disruptors, honestly. Too bad. Okay, so we got Federico De Michelis is coming up in the next two segments. Him and I are going to banter around a lot of different topics. We're going to go deep on the Houston Dynamo. In fact, we're going to do everything from data to judgment on performances to how the Dynamo are a differing team. We're also going to pull this back a little bit and make sure that we recognize that despite the dominance in the game, Portland hit two posts and a crossbar at the end of the game. You might be feeling very, very differently right now if, in fact, that ended 1-1. Because if it ended 1-1, it might have ended the Dynamo's playoff hopes. But they needed that win. It was the first win at home since June. Later on tonight, we've got Pat Onstad on the show, the Dynamo director of soccer operations. We will also have on the show Jack McGlynn. You're not going to want to miss these interviews. Had to pre-tape these today based on their schedules, but they are both really, really good interviews. Talk youth with Pat. I ask him if there's any players coming up through the system that he thinks would be similar in nature from Houston, by the way, that could get kind of the Brooklyn Reigns treatment, be given an opportunity, be allowed to make mistakes. Brooklyn Reigns and Jack McGlynn, forget about the records, forget about the season, forget about everything. These two individuals on the Houston Dynamo have benefited most this year. And to that, the Dynamo do get credit because they gave a huge belief in Jack McGlynn to be a playmaker. Name me another American playmaker in MLS. Not sure there are any. 713-780-3776. And then they stuck with Brooklyn Reigns, let him make mistakes, which he did, and now he's going to the under-20 World Cup. He's going to be in the shop window. We talked to Pat about that. Pat Onstad will be going down to the under-20 World Cup in Chile. I asked him in the interview if Reigns is for sale. And you'll hear the answer in that interview. I also asked Jack McGlynn about what it would mean for him to go to a World Cup. I asked him about a burgeoning relationship. He's already got a good one with Griffin Dorsey, but a burgeoning relationship with Lawrence Anali. I don't know if you saw, but I posted on X at Glendave Sock that wonderful little eye-popping play where McGlynn gets the ball in the middle and Anali had come inside, makes a run. He has to stop to keep himself onside, but then explodes and gets a touch on it. It just goes wide. But if that goes in, it would have been the goal of the week, in my opinion. But these two young guys, I think, are beginning to lead the Dynamo attack. Additionally, with Anali on the field, the game is going to be more open. You're going to get more transition. I don't know if he was instructed, but Lawrence Anali stayed higher in this game, which I've been on my knees praying for. Because you don't, for me, if consistently in a game, all 10 field players are back behind the ball, even your center forward, when you win the ball, you have nowhere to go. Because everybody's so condensed and you get repressed. There's no outlet. And even if you stand Anali up high, somebody's got to stay with him. And if they don't, guess what? You can defend with 9. You can defend with 9, win the ball, knock it into space to him. So we saw a lot of transition. We saw a lot of corners earned, 11 corners, which to me was very indicative of the Dynamo attack. Now, granted, Portland invited you in. That's the way they play. So I think you have to factor that in a little bit. But four straight starts for Anali, you do see opponents have to look at you a little bit differently. You're redesigning the team a little bit simply because of the way he plays. And I'm not saying, you know, by any means it's all there. That game could have been tied and you'd be in a very tough place right now. By the way, Arsenal, a 1-1 draw with Manchester City. When's the last time you saw Manchester City with only 34% possession? That is the lowest number in the history of Premier League play for Pep Guardiola. They only had 34% possession against Arsenal. Pretty crazy. And of course, who's going to know Pep Guardiola better than Mikel Arteta, who was on his staff, who was his number one assistant? And he kind of has the number of Man City. Yeah, they scored late. It was Martinelli. I get it. Do you remember when I said Sergio Busquets a couple weeks ago after that incident with Seattle? I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he gets suspended from the League's Cup. He's done. He's going to retire. Well, Sergio Busquets is going to retire from Inter Miami. You could see it in his eyes. He was not having fun. You could see his shelf life of athleticism was exposed when they lost the ball. See, sometimes you learn a little something here. There's a little premonition here. I'm not saying I'm the amazing Kreskin, but you can see things and glean things out of games. All right, Federico De Michelis is going to join me here shortly in the next segment, quite frankly. And we are going to bust down more on the Dynamo. We got, or he got, for the show, some great post-match stuff from Dynamo fans. We're going to play that. We're going to react to that. We're going to have some fun. We can take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. And you got Dynamo sporting director Pat Onstad after these two segments coming up. And then you got Jack McGlynn to finish it tonight. Now, this is some good kind of lounge. But Sean Mapes is a big Pearl Jam guy, I hear. He likes, I think, Sound. Would you like Soundgarden? Yeah, you like that. Yeah. You like the grunge period.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great period. That was a big Seattle. Mother Love Bone, there's another one. That was some of those guys, like they formed another band.
I'll plug them into Spotify.
Yeah. Check out Mother Love Bone. I think you might like that. All right, Slip Sliders. It is a bite-sized revolution in dining. I told you about them. 1802 bins. It's innovative. Sliders, chicken tenders, salads, dessert options, but it is the sliders. That's why it's called Slip Sliders. He does a mix of really innovative and diverse things with the slider lineup. They're bigger, beautiful brioche bun, all different types, chicken, beef, fish offerings, falafel, bunch of different types, which you're going to love. Slip Sliders, it's a beautiful, clean little spot. I like it. You'll see the sign. They got the orange slip, and then the sliders is in yellow. But it's a great, great spot down on Bins near Memorial Park. If you're down there in the museums, you're going to go into Slip Sliders. They make them to order, by the way. That's the big thing to me. They make them to order, and made to order is different than having things sitting around. Right? Slip Sliders on Bins. I'm pulling up a couple of the menu items that I like. Okay, here we go. The Backyard Burger, I've had it. That's the traditional. You got the signature slip with American cheese pickles. You've got Swiss Miss, mushroom Swiss cheese. Hickory Dickory. This is bacon, onion rings, along with the beef, hickory sauce. Chicken Southern Comfort, Buffalo Blue, Simple Jack, Caribbean Chick. I like the Caribbean Chick with the jerk seasoning. Shrimp Shack. That's the one I was telling you about with the shrimp cake down at Slip Sliders. Captain Jack, which is salmon for the health conscious. You got the British Chippy, which is a fried whitefish. Ingredients are excellent. And by the way, they got a fried chicken one. That's the Southern Comfort. And then the veggie, the Happy Cow, the falafel, and chill. So there you go. I highly suggest it. It's slip sliders down on bins. And we'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on here tonight. A big thank you, as always, to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm, are going to work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. Nobody likes getting in accidents, but it happens. And, well, if it does happen, you need the best. It is the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. My friends at Cactus Music will be proud of me for playing Love and Rockets alive. And that's the name of the song. All right, we welcome in now a great guest. Well, not a guest. He's actually one of our great people on Soccer Matters and correspondent. Does a lot of great work for us, brings great opinion. He is Federico DeMichelis.
Glenn, it's good to be here.
I didn't call you Fernando.
Here we go. We're getting better.
There we go.
We're getting better.
All right. Biggest thing in your mind in the world of soccer right now. Let me just hit you with a nice, let me lob a big softball.
Yeah. I mean, we had the Ballon d'Or. That's a big one, I think. Yeah, I know. Well, but people care. You know, what am I going to do? I don't. Do you care? Do you like the whole thing?
I understand its significance.
Yeah.
I understand what it means to fans. I understand it's an opportunity for the spotlight. I really liked the voting by the journalists the last time when Rodri won it for Man City because I thought that broke the mold of attacking players getting it. And by the way, it got validated because City struggled without him.
Yeah, and I was going to say, do you think we lost respect of it just because, you know, Ronaldo Messi, you know, like the whole, you know, the way that they just absorbed.
Did it feel contrived?
It's
like nobody else could get in, but they were the two best players in the world. Let's face it.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You know, and Rodri was a surprise for many. For me, it was, at least. You know, I understand it was you know, a key player in that team, and that team won it all. That's the other thing. You know, do the players have to win it all to be the best players in the world, you know, to deserve that trophy? I don't know. You know, I think Dembélé could very possibly be awarded with the Ballon d'Or. You know, I don't see why not.
Why not? He was on the best team in the world. And,
no.
he was the leading goal scorer on the best team in the world. So I do think that sometimes journalists are going to take the team element into it as well.
Right. And then you see Yamal, you know, and the whole world of Yamal and everything around him, you know, and then you see these, you know, because that's the other thing. You know, people don't really watch a full game of soccer anymore. Right. So everybody watches these like very little clips, you know, and you see a clip of Yamal, you know, cutting inside and taking a shot and doing this and that and whatever. And so everybody goes crazy about it. But you don't see the work that Dembélé puts in. We saw it in the Club World Cup when you see Dembélé and also in the final of the Champions. When you see that guy work on the pitch, the amount of miles and miles and miles and the intensity with which he plays, you know, you don't see Yamal doing that. You don't see Vinny doing that at all whatsoever. Well, look at him
Vinny
now.
Vinny and Mbappe don't do a whole lot without the ball. Yamal has got just a whack job of a father. What a whack job this guy is. He says missing out on Ballon d'Or, the fact that his kid didn't get it, is biggest moral damage. Give me a freaking break.
Look,
dude,
I
behind the rock you crawled under with the money your son's giving you.
I don't like the whole.
That
I don't
is
like
so demeaning to Dembélé, too, by the way.
To everybody.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you think you are?
It's so classless.
And it's something we don't need. You know, who wants to see that in the world of soccer? Who wins with people like that? You know?
Here's what he said. He said, I think this is the biggest, I won't say theft, but moral damage done to a human being. Dude, what is it? What world is this guy
Vinny,
living?
Vinny did the same thing last year. Remember? He didn't want to go.
Moral damage. There are people dying all over the place
who shouldn't be dying, and this guy's talking about moral damage. This just shows you how humanity can get so drilled down on only what affects them.
And tomorrow he
goes on to say something very strange has happened here. Okay. Yeah. Dembele only scored 35 goals in 53 appearances, so he didn't deserve it.
Right.
Okay.
At all.
Sure.
At all.
All right. Let's put that clown to rest.
That
is a clown show.
And in the list you had Vitinha, Salah, Rafinha, you know, Hakimi. I mean, can Hakimi win a Ballon d'Or? Vitinha, I mean, his Club World Cup, you know, the class in that player. You know, we don't see those anymore as much. You know,
Moral damage. Good God.
Yeah.
What a wreck.
It's a lot.
Is. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Lamine hopefully can put his father back in the closet where he belongs. All right. Can we play that, Sean? Can we play the John Terry sound? Because I want to get Federico's take on this. Listen to this.
Everyone's obsessed with playing out from the back at the minute. It drives me insane at all levels of football. At Chelsea, I wanted the ball. We wanted to play out from the back constantly. But Peter Cech would put the ball on the six-yard box. We'd split and we'd go, no thanks, not today. Why? Because they've got three men on the edge of the box that are going to come charging after me, charging after Ricky, and put pressure on us. And what we'll do is we'll beat that press, we'll go into Didier, and Big Pete's capable of it in a 50-yard quality pass into his chest. Now we beat that press, you set lamps, you go wide to you. That's a strength. That's recognising football and understanding football. I'm not sure players have the responsibility to make those decisions anymore. It's play out from the back at all costs.
Love it. Absolutely love it. He's absolutely right.
Play out of the back at all costs.
The obsession. I mean, I get it. We've seen Guardiola do it. We all loved it. We all fell in love with it. That can happen, you know, how many times? With how many teams? Only with those players, you know?
By the way, their center forward was Didier Drogba.
Imagine.
So
imagine.
He got a pretty good direct option there.
Imagine.
Frank Lampard running off him. I mean... But I love hearing that type of commentary because there are other ways to play the game. I do think it's over data. There's too much data. I think we have seen, and you and I can talk about this, but I think we have seen simply with Lawrence and Ali playing four straight games for the Dynamo, the complexion of that team looking different. The opponent has to look at them differently. And they have had to pull off their game model based on the vertical nature of his game, which you can't take away from him.
Yeah, and boy, we saw that in this last game against Portland because, you know, we were talking about this. It's not only, and getting into the game a little bit now, it's not only that Portland was, you know, not their best, but there's a reason also why they were not their best. You know, if Portland sat back a little bit, maybe, but there were also reasons, you know, for them to stay back and not pressure as much as we've seen them in other games. In Ali,
I mean, that to me is the essence of Portland. They do invite you in and they want to hit you on the counterattack. I was surprised Matias Rojas didn't get the start for them because he darn near tied the game up. Yeah, it was good for us.
Yeah.
They were trying to go through Anthony a lot. But I think it was both. I think it was the Dynamo's more aggressive nature. Maybe that's because of where we are in the season. It's also because of Anali's inclusion, and I think it's the perfect foil to McGlynn and Griffin Dorsey on the other side of the field.
Yeah, and I saw something that I loved that I hadn't seen so far in the season. So we all know when you see a number nine, you know, number nine has to be a little bit closer to the goal than the rest, correct? Now, many times, waiting in that position, you're going to be offsides. You are going to be offsides, and you have to be in that offsides position to find a better position in the case that there is a long ball behind the back of the defenders, which is exactly what the Dynamo has been trying to do with McGlynn, with those big cross balls for Anali. Even Bartlow did it when he was playing, you know, those big, big changes.
The diagonal, Sviatchenko hits it too.
Yeah, exactly. So when I remember because I had someone behind me that was yelling at Ponce, you know, Ponce, you're offside. Ponce knew he's offside. Of course he knew he was offside. But that's the point. You know, you have to stay in that position to drag the defense back a little bit and to leave space behind you for that run.
The other thing is, for a wily guy like Ponce, is you're hiding, right? Because the defender now has to constantly kind of turn and look back, which means if he's looking back at you to see where you are, it means his eyes are off the ball. So it's a little cat and mouse. And then as somebody is about to hit the long ball, you quickly get yourself onside and bend your running.
That's it.
But it's I think that's an underrated part of Ponce's game. I know he took a lot of criticism. He's got a few more goals now. That's not coming as much. But I think the way he uses his body, his shoulders, a lot of times if you watch him, if he's going up in the air and he doesn't think he has a chance to win it, he'll just lean in on a guy or nudge him. He'll knock some people off balance. He does a lot of these little subtle things that I think you can see as a striker. 21 shots to 7 in favor of the Dynamo. 7 on goal to 3. 54% of the possession for Houston. 11 corners. Biggest output of corners of the year. Validation that they're getting to the end line.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about set pieces, I criticize that we don't work them enough during the week, especially having a set piece taker like McGlynn. You know, every time that kid hits the ball, it is absolute, you know, it's just so dangerous for the defense. Every single ball, he just places it with a glove. You know, it's beautiful. So I wish we could see a little bit more work in the set pieces for Houston. But producing that amount of set pieces is great news. Great news for the Dynamo.
What else we got here? We have 4 saves for Jonathan Bond. Made a big one in the first half.
Yeah, that one in the first half was key. That through ball on the left side of the attack of Portland, and he did a great job.
You spoke to him after. What did he say?
I did. You know, what I said is, you know, usually in South America, when you can't close games, you know, someone from the team, someone goes before the game and throws some holy water, or you know, turns on some incense, some candles, or something to try to get the bad juju. He said, "No, we didn't do any of that. We didn't need to get lucky. I think we dominated this game. You know, and I think he's right. You know, the thing is, those last 5 minutes." You know, again,
I went back and looked at the end of the game, and it was transitional.
Yeah.
And it would be the Dynamo have a great chance. Jack McGlynn should have had a second goal in this game. Yeah. I know he's on the show tonight, but we this is honest soccer talk. He should have got a second goal. The Dynamo could have put this game away, and this has been a problem. And it's been a problem even all the way back to the great year with Hector in 2023. They aren't scoring enough multi-goal games. They do seem to panic a little bit at the end of games. There is no Hector there to put his foot on the ball and manage the game out for you. And it was shaky. And if we're sitting here at this moment and two posts, and in fact, Jonathan Bond struggled with one at the near post with Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been chalked down to his problem.
Yes. It was a tricky play, but absolutely.
It was a strange play. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, Rojas rips one off the crossbar.
Yeah.
We're sitting here after a tie. I mean, you know, we're out on the ledge.
It would have been done. And you know, that's the other thing. When I talk to the fans after the game, you know, how a victory changes completely the perception of the game, you know. And talking also with some Portland fans that I found after the game, and you know, I asked him, you know, what's the secret? What do you guys, even though the history and we know what Portland is in American soccer, And they were saying, you know, the atmosphere is completely different. And I'm like, well, how do you bring these people to the stadium? And they said, well, you got to win. You know, you got to win. And
yeah, but see, I hear that all the time. Yeah. That's one of the elements, no question. You also have to score goals. You also have to have dribblers like Lawrence Anali. Now, that's just the competitive side. Okay, Portland, much like Seattle, has kept... Look, I used to play. Who came to Port? They were calling it Portland FC then. Clive Charles, the former Olympic coach who was so noted, was the coach of Portland then, and it was during tough times in soccer. But Portland and Seattle kept it alive. We got a long way to go in that department. I don't want to get into that again because I don't want to start talking about what I think are a lot of things going on wrong with the organization when it comes to really making this a soccer town. Sorry, it's the truth. Anybody can come on and contest it with me. I'll do it any time of the day, anybody. But I will say that there's a reason they sell it out.
True.
Okay, there's a reason they sell it out. People come to games for goals. But you know what? We're going to come back with some of the sound you got from the fans.
Yes,
and this is going to be interesting. This is great stuff that Federico got. All right, this is Pressure Drop. Great reggae song. Clash covered this. Sean, you would like The Clash from the 80s, punk band.
Really?
Yeah, if you like Pearl Jam, you would like The Clash.
All right, adding them to my Spotify homework from Glenn.
See? Yes, yes, yes. Sean probably wasn't even born in the 80s for all I know. He's probably in the... Well,
1996.
Jeez. Even you missed most of the 90s. All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big shout out to our friends at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. By the way, you got Nigeria coming to town to take on Venezuela, the Vino Tinto, in November. That's going to be at Shell Energy Stadium. And, of course, the Dynamo go on the road this weekend. A big win for the Houston Dash. A lot of things happening in the world of soccer. We're going to get after it when we come back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations. Legendary Dimitri. His son's now a football player at UNLV. You got the original on Montrose. You got the newest location in the Woodlands. And then you got the another gorgeous location out on the Beltway and I-10. It's Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Houston institution, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
ESPN 97.5.